Okay, hi everyone. Today's Bite of Torah is sponsored by Nehemia and Alana Bondar in memory of Nehemia's beloved brother, Reuven ben David Eliezer, Reuben Bondar, Alav Hashalom, who passed away last week and whose Shiva for him is actually concluded this morning. So in the zchus of our learning together, his neshama should indeed have an aliyah and a great merit to his soul. All right, I don't know if you had a chance or if you saw the email that went out with which Rosalie sends out on Wednesdays about the Bite of Torah, but the email said that the topic today is Hatikva, hope in exile, and the response of Rav Kook's response. So what I would like to do today is share with you some insight into this is not Torah per se, but I think it's Torah anyway. and that is, I want to take a look at the poem of Hatikva, the original poem, what was incorporated into the national anthem of Israel, Rav Kook's response to it, and then I will do some standard Torah as well, something on the Parsha, which I think is connected to a broader point that I'd like to develop with you today. So, just a word on the and clearly the reason that I've chosen to do this today. Is because tonight, today's Yom HaZikaron, and tonight it begins the official celebrations of Yom Ha'atzmaut. Even though Yom Ha'atzmaut is not actually until Friday, until Shabbos, but whenever Yom Ha'atzmaut falls out on either Friday, Shabbos, or Sunday, so 3 out of the 7 days of the week, the chief rabbin in Israel has chosen to move the celebrations to Thursday or Monday so that there should not be any conflict with Chilul Shabbos or Chilul Yom Tov. So quite often, actually, Yom HaTzmaut is not celebrated on the fifth day of the year. But a word on Israel's national anthem. First thing that you might be surprised, maybe not, to know is that Israel's national anthem was only established formally by law about 15 years ago. I think it was 2004 that the Hatikva was adopted officially as Israel's national anthem. And like many things associated with Israel and with Jews, the development of the national anthem is subject to a measure of dispute. What's not disputed is that the author of the poem from which excerpted stanzas became the national anthem was a fellow by the name of Naftali Hertz Imber. He lived from 1856 to 1909, a Galicianer, came from Poland, and apparently, as I read, from a young age he was writing songs and poems, and he even wrote a poem dedicated to the Emperor Franz Joseph of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, for which apparently he received award from the Emperor. So, pretty prodigious young man. The age of 19, he left his native town, traveled across Europe. When he arrived in Turkey, he somehow met up with the British diplomat Sir Lawrence Oliphant in Istanbul. He hired Naftali to be his personal secretary. And this fellow, Sir Lawrence Oliphant, was apparently a Christian messianic mystic who believed in the Jewish in the right of return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. So here you have this fellow who hooked up with a Christian Zionist. Anyway, it's because of Lawrence Oliphant, who moved with his wife to Palestine, to Israel, and he moved along with them. And that's, I guess, how he made it to Israel. And that was in the late 1800s when the first, quote-unquote, the first Aliyah was in its high throes. So he is the author of the poem. Now, what we have as the, let me just get you back on my screen over here. Where did you all go? Ah, there you are. Okay, what we have actually as the Israel National Anthem, which we all know, Kolod Baleva, I'm talking about the author of the Hatikva, Naftali Hertz Imber.
Thank you.
Okay, so what we have as the actual national anthem, as I said, was an excerpt from a poem. Now, although Naftali Hertz Imber grew up apparently in a frum home, I'm not sure that he continued in that path through the rest of his life. It's not clear to me. I don't know the answer to that, but I tend to suspect that he did not. Nevertheless, the poem that he wrote, originally called Tikvatenu, is a 9-stanza poem. I'm going to share with you on my screen in a moment, and it's highly infused with biblical imagery. So he clearly was was drawing on his childhood learning, on his education. I'm going to put it on my screen in a second, but there was some significant pushback to this poem as the Israel National Anthem, and for a couple of reasons, one of which I'm going to develop with you, but one of which is another, which is, I think, pretty clear, and that is that we say, Kolod Baleva Pnimei Nefesh Yehudi Homia, Ulefate Mizrach Kadima, talking about, looking to the east, Western Jews, are talk about the East, as Israel. But of course, if you're a Middle Eastern Jew, East is not a particularly, if you are to the corners of the East, it's not, not exactly a relevant imagery if you are a Middle Eastern Jew or an Eastern Jew. Point of the matter is west of Israel. In any event, the point of the matter is that from one perspective, the national anthem itself seems to, this poem seems to come from a particularly Ashkenazic perspective. I mean, he was, after all, a Galiciana Jew who wrote it. It also is particularistic to the Jewish community, which is, it's a Jewish state, so it makes sense. But that could be exclusionary to the 5, 10, 15, 20% of the population, and now 25% of the population that is not Jewish. So there have been all types of pushback and critique about this particular poem as the basis of the national anthem. Now, even initially, this wasn't a shoo-in for the national anthem of Israel. Even as it was not formally by law or by statute the national anthem, it was the national anthem for this 70 years of the state. But it was written and then put to song in the early 1900s, and it wasn't the only candidate. There was a poem by Chaim Nachman Bialik called Birkat. I forgot the official title of the poem, but it's known as Techazakna. And that was also put to song, and that was a very popular song, the anthem of the Beitar movement, the socialist movement. There were a lot of anthems out there that were in competition. But for whatever historical reasons, and I'll leave that for you for further reading and study, what we know as the national anthem, Kol Od Balevav, is what ultimately emerged. What I want to walk you through a little bit is some of the biblical allusions that are made in this poem. Take a look at the original poem. I want to take a look at Rav Kook's response to it, because Rav Kook also wrote a national anthem, a competing national anthem, in response to HaTikvah. The HaTikvah, it was responded to by Rav Kook by his anthem and his poem called HaEmunah. We're going to take a look at both of them. And as I said, there will be some, you know, classical divrei Torah here and on the Parsha, the second part of the Shir. But this is Torah also. So I'm going to share my screen with you. Let's see here. Okay. So here you have the original poem, the complete poem, and you'll notice Od lo avda tikvatenu. That's the opening stanza. Our hope is not yet lost. Od lo avda tikvatenu, hatikva hanoshna, a little different than we have it now. Mishuv le'eretz avotenu le'ir ba David v'chana. So, you know, the hatikva, which goes, Od lo avda tikvatenu, hatikva shnot apayim, li'ot amchavshi be'yartzenu, eretz tzion Yerushalayim. So that's this opening line, or this opening stanza, but it's been changed from the original. So, and we sing, the second stanza is what we sing first. Kol od balevav sham pinima. Again, not exactly. Nefesh Yehudi ho mi'aulafate mizrach kadima. And onwards to the ends of the east. Right? In other words, eno litzion sofia. Our eyes to the ends of the east still look towards Zion. So, in any event, the point of the matter is that the stanzas are flipped. We do stanza two, and then we do stanza one. And that might seem a little odd to you, but if you look at how the poem is written, it actually makes quite a bit of sense. Od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not yet lost. Hatikva no shana, this ancient hope. To return to the land of our fathers, the city where David encamped. That hope, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, is not yet lost. When is that hope not yet lost? Kol od balevav penima. As long as, kol od means as long as. So it's a little weird, you know, if you actually think about it, the way we sing it, you know, as long as the hope is not yet lost, you know, and then the second paragraph is our hope is not yet lost. That's how we sing it. But the truth of the matter is that in the context of the way it was written is our hope is not yet lost as long as, kol od, right? So kol od balevav pnima, as long as within the heart, nefesh Yehudi homea, a Jew, a soul of a Jew still yearns. Ulefaate mizrach kadima, and onwards towards the ends of the east, his eyes still look towards Zion. We're going to read. I want to read with you the other stanzas. Kol od ma'od, our hope is not yet lost, as long as tears from our eyes, teiradna kigeshem nidavot, flow like benevolent rain. Urevavot mi bnei amenu. And the throngs of our countrymen, od holchim lekivrei avot, still pay homage to the graves of our forefathers. As long as that's happening, od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not yet lost. The next paragraph, kol od chomat machmadenu, as long as our precious wall, od li einenu mefaat, appears before our eyes. V'aleich urban mikdashenu, and over the destruction of our mikdash, of our temple, ayin achat odomat, an eye still wells up with tears. As long as we, you know, as long as the The wall, right? The Western Wall, the precious wall, is in our eyes, is in our minds, is in our vision. And we are crying over the Beis HaMikdash. As long as all that's happening, Od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not yet lost. Our hope, again, what hope? The hope to return to the land of Israel. Paragraph five. Kol od hayarden begaon, as long as the waters of the Jordan in the fullness swell its banks, uliyam kinaret b'sha'on, and down the Sea of Galilee, b'kol hamulai yipolun, with tumultuous noise fall, as long as these natural phenomena are continuing to exist, od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not yet lost to return to Eretz Yisrael. Kol od sham alei drachayim, as long as on the barren highways, Sham Sha'ar Yukat She'iyah, the humbled city gates mark, and among the ruins of Jerusalem, Uvein Charvot Yerushalayim, a daughter of Zion still cries. As long as there is that crying, as long as there is that hoping, as long as there is that pining and yearning, Kol Od, as long as all that's happening, as long as that occurs, Od Lo Avda Tikvatenu, our hope to return is not yet lost. Paragraph 7 of 9. Kol od shamad ma'ot tarot, as long as pure tears, me'ein iminos lot, flow from the eye of a daughter of my nation, livkot litzion b'rosh hashmorot, and mourn for Zion at the watch of night, as long as we're crying and pining and yearning, yakum b'chatzi alelot, she still rises in the middle of the night. So, as long as our tears flow from the daughter of my nation, and to mourn for Zion, in other words, we get up in the middle of the night to mourn for Zion, as long as it's on our minds, and we cannot be calmed, we are constantly moved and triggered by these thoughts and feelings. Kolod, as long as that's happening, od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not yet lost. Paragraph 8. Kol od regesh ahavat halaom, as long as the feelings of love of a nation, belev hayehudi poem, throbs in the heart of a Jew, od nuchal kaveh gam hayom, we can still hope even today, ki rachamenu el zoem, that a wrathful God may have mercy on us. In other words, as long as we have love of our nation, and that love for one another is still palpable, we can hope that Hashem will have mercy on us, right? So as long as, and therefore, as long as that's happening, od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope of returning to the land is not lost. Paragraph 9. Shim'u achai b'artzot nudi. So now we move away from the kol odes, as long as X, we still have hope. We conclude with the following. Shim'u achai b'artzot nudi. Hear, O my brothers, in the lands of exile, et kol achad chozenu, the voice of one of our visionaries states, ki rak im acharon hayehudi, when only the very last Jew, as long as there is one very last Jew, gam acharit tikvatenu, there is still hope for our end. In other words, a play on words over here. Im acharon hayehudi, as long as there's a very last Jew, as long as there's one Jew left, our hope is still left. In other words, we still have hope. Okay, this is the beautiful, powerful, poignant a poem of longing and yearning written by Naftali Hertz Ember. So, really, what problem should Rav Kook have with this poem? Before we get to the problem and the response, I want to point out a few biblical allusions here in this poem. So we start with Od lo avda tikvatenu, and this is perhaps one of the most well-known or should be the most prominent aspects of the biblical allusions. And that is, we start with Od lo avda tikvatenu, that our hope is not yet lost. This is a response of the poet to the pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel. Everybody here, I'm sure, is familiar with the dry bones. So let's take a look at the pasuk in Yechezkel. Here we have Yechezkel 37:11. If you happen to have a Tanakh in front of you, you can look at it in front of you. It's 37:11. Okay, take a look here. Vayomer Eli ben Adam, ha'atzamot ha'ele kol beit Yisrael hema. And he said to me, O mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Hine omrim, they say, quote, Yavshu atzmosenu, our bones are dried up. Vi'avda tikvatenu, and our hope is gone. Nigzarnu lanu, this has been decreed upon us, we are doomed. So, in his poem, he begins with Od lo avda tikvatenu, as opposed to what the Navi Yechezkel is saying, with the dry bones and we are doomed and all hope is lost. Lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not lost. Now, he says, Hatikvano shana, the ancient hope to return back to our land. Le'ir ba David chana. Chana here is not the woman chana. It's a verb. To the city that David encamped in. Lachanot, machane. So we long to go back. Our hope is not lost to go back to the land and to the city where David encamped, i.e., Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. Now this phrase here, Le'ir ba David chana, itself is also a biblical allusion, and I'll take you there in a second. It is in the Navi Yeshaya, Perek 29:1. So if you happen to have a Tanakh in front of you, you can look at it. Yeshaya 29, here we go, 29:1. Hoi Ariel, Ariel. Oh, Ariel, Ariel. Ariel is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. Oh, Ariel, Ariel. City, Kiryat Chana David. The city where David encamped. Sfu Shanal Shana Chagim Yinkofu. Add year to year. Let festivals come in their cycles. V'hatzikoti la'Ariel, and I will harass Ariel, and there shall be sorrow and sighing. She shall be to me like Ariel. In other words, what is going on here in the Navi is actually a rebuke of the Jewish people, right? I'm going to harass the people. So the poet here is taking allusions from the Navi and sort of refuting but addressing them. Instead of the Navi who says, Avda tikvatenu, the dry bones, our hope is lost, lo avda tikvatenu. This reference here to returning to Eretz Yisrael, le'ir ba David chana, the place where David encamped, that's in the context of a rebuke to Bnei Yisrael. And the poet here is inverting it. And saying, no, we are going to back to that land of which David encamped. In a context of rebuke, we're going to go back and be redeemed. So it's an inversion of the psukim in the Tanakh. Okay, and now we have, of course, Kolod Balevav Pinima Nefesh Yehudi Homio Lafate Mizrach Kadima. This language here, Nefesh Yehudi Homia, also from the as long as there is within the heart of a Jew. And a Jew still yearns and pines. Yehudi Homia. So this also is a reference. Let's go back here. Yeshaya 22:2. So the Valley of Vision pronouncement. What can have happened to you that you have gone, all of you, up on the roofs? Masa Gechi Zion. This is the beginning of a prophecy. Tishuot Mila'a Ir Homia. Kirya Aliza, O you who are full of tumult, you clamorous town, you city so gay, Your slain are not the slain of the sword, nor the dead of battle. Your officers have all departed. They fled far away. Your survivors were all taken captive with their bows. That is why I say, let me be. I will weep bitterly. Press not to comfort for me for the ruin of my poor people. Okay, so here you have a reference to a city. Whoops. Okay, a little better. Ir Homia, a city of, in this case, Homia is talking about great tumult, I guess, as they translate it right here. There's a lot of commotion, a lot of noise, a lot of, you know, a lot going on here. Chalalei, chalalei charev. And then we're talking about terrible destruction here and death. And, you know, so once again, the poem, which talks about Nefesh Yehudi Homia, then the soul of a Jew stirs and yearns, right? As opposed to the, you know, this city of calamity, right? We're taking that language and inverting it for the purposes of hoping for redemption. Okay, a couple of more over here, and we go to, you know, these are now all the kol odes, kol od ma'ot me'enenu. Teiradna kigeshem nedavot, as long as tears from our eyes flow like benevolent rain. So that language of teiradna kigeshem nedavot, that is a paraphrase from Tehillim. I didn't write down the pasuk here, but it's a paraphrase. It is a quote from Tehillim talking about teiradna kigeshem nedavot. And I'll skip down over here. Stanza 4. Kol od chomat machmadenu, as long as our precious wall, od le'eneno mefa'at, appears before our eyes, and over the destruction, our eyes still well up with tears. So the Navi Yeshaya 64:10, back here in Yeshaya 64:10. Here we go. 64:10. So here we have Ir Kacha, 64:9. Ir Kacha Chayu Midbar, your holy cities have become a desert. Tzion Midbar Hayasa, Zion has become a desert. Yerushalayim Shmama, Yerushalayim is desolate. Beit Kodshenu V'Tifartenu, our holy temple, our pride. Asher Halalucha Avosenu, where our forefathers praised you, Hashem. Hayal Sreifat Esh, has been consumed by fire. V'chol machmadenu hayal lecharva, and all our machmadenu means that which is dear to us, that which we desired, in allusion to Jerusalem, to Beis Hamikdash, right? V'chol machmadenu hayal lecharva, has been thrown into ruin, right? That's the pasuk in the Navi, right? At such things will you restrain yourself, Hashem? Will you stand idly by and let us suffer so heavily? Right, so that's the pasuk. What does the poem do? It says, Kol od chomat machmadenu, the wall of our desire, our precious wall. Od leilenenu mafa'at va'alei chorban mikdashenu ad ayin od doma'at. So, in other words, the Navi is talking about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash in particular as a machmad, right? Beis Mikdashenu v'tifartenu. So you have here in this stanza a reference to Mikdashenu and machmadenu. Both of those come from that, those two psukim that I just read for you in Yeshaya. So the poem itself is saturated with biblical references to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, pining and hoping for redemption out of a state of low tragedy and sadness. Okay, one other here I'll just point out to you in 7, Kolod, as long as on the barren highways the humbled city gates mark, and among the ruins of Jerusalem a daughter of Zion still cries, Ubein Chorvot Yerushalayim, Od Bat Tzion Bochia. So this language of Tzion Bochia, This is very reminiscent of Eicha, right? Of Al Eila Ani Bochia, right? You know, as we say on Tisha B'Av, in the Kinos. But Sion Bochia, this is an Eicha reference over here. So, you know, we have this poem is coming from a great sense of loss, of sadness, of galus, of exile. And the hope is that we will emerge from this exile. And there is hope in it. But it's a hope which is born out of great pain and great suffering. You can feel it in the words. And in the biblical allusions, they're also coming from a place of great pain and sadness. Doesn't mean that there isn't hope here. It is, tikvatenu. Od lo avda tikvatenu. As long as, you know, our hope is not lost, as long as all these things are in existence. But it is a place of sadness, a place of hope, a place of almost hopelessness, hope stemming from hopelessness, tragedy. We'll look at this end at the end here. Kol od regesh avat halaom, as long as the feeling of love of nation throbs in the heart of a Jew. Right? This is the classic idea. For 2,000 years, we've been talking about sinas chinam and ahavas chinam. We have to love one another, and this is the pathway to get out of our tragic exile. As long as there is a feeling, a love of nation, od nuchal kaveh gam hayom, we can even hope today. What are we hoping for? So look how he describes the hope of redemption. Ki yirachameinu el zo'em, that a wrathful God will have mercy on us. You know, this is a statement of hope born in tragedy, of hope, of joy out of sadness, of optimism littered in with pessimism littered all around it. It's born out of pessimism. Shimu achai, and here is the concluding line. Shimu achai ba'artzot nudi, hear, O my brothers in the land of exile, et kol achad chozenu, the voice of one of our visionaries, who declares that only with the very last Jew, only there is the end of our hope. Right? So, you know, so how is he expressing here hope? In other words, as long as there's still one Jew alive, but he doesn't even say as long as there is one Jew still alive. He says, if there is only one Jew left, if there is no Jew left, actually that's what he's saying. Ki rakim acharon hayudi, that only with the very last Jew, gam acharit tikvatenu, only there is the end of our hope. In other words, if there are no Jews left, then there's no hope. The inference is, as long as there are Jews, we still have hope. But what a negative way to express a positive statement. And this, I believe, is what. And this, I believe, is what Rav Cook's what one of the issues that Rav Cook had with this poem. Rav Cook wrote a competing anthem, and he called it Shir HaEmunah. And this is it right here, Shir HaEmunah. It's a poem which has been put to song. And, you know, in the religious Zionist world in Israel, many people, you know it. They sing it in the yeshivas. I'll just, you know, sing a little bit that I know. It goes, La'ad chaya bilvaveinu ha'emuna ha'nemana la'shuv li'eretz li'eretz kodsheinu ir ba'david chana. All right. So the first thing I want to point out is just even the song that was put to the national to Hatikva, compared to the song which was the music that was put to Rav Kook. Kol HaBaleva is a haunting tone, a haunting tune. Da 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 da. It's a haunting melody. The song, the music that was put to Rav Kook's Shir HaEmunah, if you heard me sing it as poorly as I just did, is a very uplifting and happy song. And Rav Kook's anthem and his poem is full-throated and full-throated joy and faith joy born out of faith, not hope born out of tragedy, even if that hope is also born out of faith. But listen to what he writes here. In direct response to tikva, instead of kolod balevav pinima, instead of the as long as there is hope in the heart of a Jew, he starts with la'ad chaya bilvavenu, forever there is life. La'ad chaya bilvavenu. Actually, hold on a second. I think I had a good English translation here, so I don't have to do it on the spot. One second. Hold on a second. Nope, that's the same one. Let me try. Nope, that's the same one. Let's try this. No. Okay. All right, so we'll do our best. What?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
It's like our faith lives forever in our hearts.
Right. La'ad is la netzach, for, you know, forever. Ha'emuna ne'emana, a strong and sturdy faith. And what is that faith that lives in us forever and ever? La'shuv la'eretz kodshenu, to return to our land, Ir ba David Chana. So first of all, it's not one person. Kol od balevav pnima nefesh Yehudi homia. Like one lonely Jew pining away, you know, for redemption. It's a nation. Bilvavenu ha'emuna ne'emana, strong, sturdy faith. Lashuv le'eretz kachenu, to return to our land. Ir ba David Chana. So he takes the words of Naftali Hertz Imber, and he actually, some of those words, like Ir ba David Chana. And instead of talking about Kivrei Avos, right, we're going to go back to the land of the graves of our forefathers. All right, let's, where is it? Here. Od lo avda tikvatenu, mishuv la'eretz avotenu. Actually, I think somewhere later in the poem, he talks about Kivrei Avos. You know, we're going to go to Mishuv, to return to the land of
number
our...
Number three, it says.
Yeah, Od Holchim LeKivrei Avos. We're going to go back to the, you know, to pay homage to the, you know, to the graves of our forefathers. So Rav Kook writes, LaShuv LeEretz Kodshenu, not even LeEretz Avotenu, to the land of our forefathers, which is good enough, but he takes it up a notch, a land of holiness. It's not just about our forefathers. It's about it's about an inherent kedusha. Shama na'avod Eloheinu. There we will serve Hashem. Bechedva, with joy. Begila, with joy. Birnana, all these are synonyms for joy. Shama na'aler galenu. There we're going to go up for the holidays. Shalosh pamim b'hashana, three times a year. This is very different than the tragic Golos Jew who's just, you know, broken shoulders trying to get back to the land of Israel. Having hope, no doubt. It is hope. I'm not taking away the hope of Hatikva. But it's a hope born in futility, you know, almost. Shama namod l'gor aleinu. There, it's not just about that the wrath of Hashem will be removed from us. This is about Shama Na'amod L'Gor Aleinu. There we will go and stand to our destiny. Av Hamon Kana, to the place where our forefather purchased. Shama Nichya Chayenu. There we will live. Chaye Adat Mimana. La'ad Chaye. And then the refrain again. Torat Chayim Chemda Seinu. Right? A living Torah is our Chemda, is our most precious thing. In Naftali Hertz, he draws on the notion of chemda as referring to the Beis Hamikdash, the destroyed Beis Hamikdash. And yes, that's also, you know, machmadenu, chemda senu. But again, it's, you know, it's about rebuilding something, or about something precious that was lost. And Rav Kook is about a living Torah that is our preciousness. Mipi Elyon Nitna, which was given us to Hashem, Netzach hi nachalatenu, eternity is our lot, Mimidbar Matana, from the desert to this gift was, you know, was given to us. So, you know, Rav Kook's response to Hatikva was a response in two ways. And one is sort of sadness versus joy, pain versus pessimism versus optimism. And a God, Hashem, of love and kindness, and rather than than a God of wrath, right? There we're going to serve Hashem with joy and simcha and gila renana and music and song, and you know, so it's a very different feel. And I think what's interesting to note over here is that the poem which was chosen by, you know, the vast majority of the secular Zionist movement is really a gullus poem, if you ask me. It's a gullus poem. It's an exile poem about hope, but the whole feel of it. So the Zionist enterprise, which was about shedding the, you know, the old identity of the broken exilic Jew, and we're going to create a new Jew of pride and strength and virility and all of that, you know, the poem which was which resonated, you know, this was really resonated by the people. It was really a gullus song, a gullus poem, and it's reflected in the melody that was ultimately assigned to this poem. Rav Kook, who represents the old yeshuv, the old school, the old ways that we're shedding, we're going to get rid of the old ways. The rabbis with the long beards and the outdated Torah and the old. Rav Kook is much more forward thinking and much more optimistic and much more joyous and much more idealistic in his ha'emunah versus ha'tikvah. And the title of the two songs, one which was Tikvatenu, which ultimately became ha'tikvah, and emunah, I think, says it all. One is about hope, and the one is about faith. Hope can only get you so far. Remember when I was working in private industry, we were at a strategy meeting, and somebody said, well, you know, what are we doing? And one of the people at the meeting said, well, you know, we hope to do X, Y, Z. And the manager said, hope is not a strategy, right? Hope is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy. Emunah is a strategy. Right? So Rav Kook comes from emunah, from faith, and paradoxically, in the history of the Zionist enterprise, it's the old yeshuv, the old school, the old Jew who presents a pathway forward much more passionately and with idealism and forward thinkingness than this theoretical, than the Hatikva, which was the standard Zionist and secular Zionist viewpoint. In fact, when Hatikva was transposed into the, and excerpted and transposed into this national anthem, the two paragraphs, you will notice that God has been stripped from it. So let's go back to Hatikva. So od lo avda tikvatenu lir badavichad kolod balevav nefe olfate mizachadima eno litzion sofia. So the two paragraphs that we choose, there is no mention of God at all. The only mention that we have of God is later on, and that paragraph was in the negative, and God is not mentioned. So there is no God in this hatikva. In Rav Kook's Shir HaEmunah, obviously there is God plays a central role. In his conclusion of the in the concluding paragraph stanza, it's Kiraki Macharon HaYehudi Gam Acharit Tikvatenu. You know, that very last Jew, when there's one last Jew standing, then we're going to be Achenvei. You know, and Rav Kook, on the other hand, is not talking about only with the very last Jew, only there is hope, but rather we're part of this fabulous nation that is eternal. I mean, he says here, La'ad chaya bilvavenu, forever. There is no, in our hearts, there is no one Jew left. It's all of us. And this faith is forever. And he ends, Torah Chaim Netzach hi nachlatenu. Our lot is eternity. So, you know, so for these reasons, you know, Rav Kook was, Rav Kook responded to and came up with his alternate, and he's not the only one who came up with an alternate one, but, you know, but this is the, you know, the anthem that rings, that he would have liked to have seen define and animate the ethos of the Jewish state. Okay, I want to move at this point. I forgot. Oh, one more. I can't let it go. Sorry. He back in this poem over here. See, it says paragraph 7. Our tears were crying. Right, Livkot Litzion Berosh Hashmorot. We're going to cry for Zion in the early morning. Yakum b'chatzi halayla, to get up in the middle of the night and cry. You know, we're stirred. We can't sleep because we're. This language over here of getting up early in the morning, in the middle of the night, is taken directly from David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Chatzos Laila Akum, I will get up in the middle of the night, Lahodos LaHashem, to give thanks and express my gratitude to Hashem. So Hertz, in his poem, he has getting up in the middle of the night, you know, to cry about and mourn and cry about Zion. David HaMelech, it's an inversion again, right? David HaMelech is about getting up to sing praise to Hashem. So I think this is really, you know, where Rav Kook was coming from in terms of suggesting his alternate view. Now, maybe, you know, in a state that has to accommodate people that are religious and non-religious, maybe, challenging to have an effusion of God, you know. For whatever reason, in the history of the American national anthem, at least up until recently, hasn't been such an issue. Expressing our faith in God. But be that as it may, two very different visions here. One is an optimistic one, and one is a pessimistic one. So I want to use that, or at least hope born out of pessimism. Rather than hope born out of faith. So I want to use this as a springboard now to take a look at something in our parsha. We're going to do Tazria Mitzora this Shabbos, and of course, one of the main themes is leprosy, tzara'as. So, if I'm successful in drawing some connection to what we just spoke about, well and good. If not, I get points for trying. Okay? All right. So, let's take a look here. Tazria. Hold on a second. Chapter 13. Pasuk 50. Let me put it up here on the screen. All right, so Tanakh, chapter Leviticus. Here, okay. Make it a little bigger. If you have a Chumash in front of you, that's even better. Okay. So we'll go back a couple of psukim here. All right, so just a
we
quick...
We can see it, Rabbi.
Okay, thank you. All right. So, without going into all the minor details, the minutia of leprosy of tzaras, just again, we say it every year, but tzaras is not leprosy as we know the malady of leprosy today. But that's how it's been translated, I think, since the King James translation. But so we'll use the term leprosy, but no, it's not leprosy. Tzaras. So, v'ra'a oso ha-kohen, the person who gets tzaras will come to the kohen. The kohen is the spiritual doctor. He will look at this blemish on the skin. V'ra'a oso ha-kohen, If it's swollen and it's bikarachto or bikabachto on the back of his head, or on the front of his head, and it's white streaked, kimaret saras or basar, like the leprosy of the body, the skin, and appearance. Okay, ish tsarua hu tamehu. The man will then be declared as leprous, and he is tamei. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. Tamei yitamenu hakohen yibirosho nigo. He shall pronounce him tamei. He has the affection on his head. And here is the pasuk that I want to look at. Vatsarua sherbo anega. The person who is afflicted, the tsarua, the leper, asher bo hanega, who himself has this affliction, bigadav yufrumim, his clothes shall be rent, rosho yefarua, his head shall be left bare, cannot cut his hair, ba'al safam yateh, and he shall cover his lips, right? And he shall call out, v'tamei, tamei yikra. Okay, v'tamei, tamei yikra. And he shall call out, unclean, unclean, impure, impure. So it's this part of the pasuk that I want to focus on. So, all right, he's going to do these various things. He's going to rend his clothing. He's going to, he's going to cover his mouth. He's going to not take a haircut. All these things are sort of expressions of some type of mourning. And of course, all this happens. Next pasuk, Kol yimei asher anega bo yitma tamehu badad yashev michutz lamachane moshavo. He is sent into isolation. He's sent out of the camp. So all these things are done in order, I think, to create some an experience of introspection and self-reflection. So what's this thing over here of a tame tame yikra? That he shall be, that he shall call out tame tame, unclean, unclean. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, I'm going to make this a little smaller so you can see it better. I don't think I can. Yeah, I'm going to make it a little smaller so you can see more on your screen. Okay. So here on the right side of your screen, Tame Tame Yikra. Whoops. Where do we go here? Sorry. There we go. Okay, Rashi. Okay, so Tame Tame Yikra, he must proclaim aloud that he is unclean so that people may keep away from him. The idea of the Tsarua calling out Tame Tame is so people shouldn't come close to him and somehow maybe contaminated themselves. And he's supposed to be in isolation. He's supposed to be out of the camp. So Rashi looks at this from a very pshat perspective, simple read of the pasuk, keep people away. Okay, so says Rashi. However, the Ibn Ezra says something slightly different. Says the Ibn Ezra, Tame Tame Yikra, the word Tame is repeated when the Mitzora passes on a road in an inhabited area. He shall continually announce that he is tame, unclean, so that way the people will be on guard not to touch him. So the Ibn Ezra, the Ibn Ezra says similarly that in order to that people will be careful not to touch him. All right, so I'm sorry, Rashi and Ibn Ezra are basically saying the same thing. Let's go to the Kli Yakar. Okay, Kli Yakar, here we go. The Kli Yakar says, he shall call out Tame Tame. I'm going to put this in the Hebrew for a second. Tame Tame, v'tame tame yikra, ki hamitame b'niv sfatav acherim, az tame yikra gam hu. Which means, everybody should remember, what is the spiritual cause for this spiritual malady of tzaraas? It is the problem of of Lashon Hara. So the Kliyakar says, Tamei, Tamei Yikra. Hamitame beniv svatayim acherim, somebody who demeans others, somebody who makes others unclean, i.e., he uses his mouth to speak Lashon Hara. As tame yikra gam hu, now he, measure for measure, is going to be called tame, ki vadai bimumo posel. Because when he called out and spoke ill of others, very often, what do people do when they speak ill of others? They're basically just seeing their own faults in other people. You know, I'm pretty well aware of what ungenerous behavior looks like because I'm an ungenerous person. So I can see it in other people quite well, right? Of course, we don't see it in ourselves. So Tamei, the one who himself is Tamei, who has this imperfection, Tamei Yikra, he called out Tamei, and now he is called Tamei. Kivadai b'muma posa, right there. He shall call out unclean, unclean. For someone who besmirches others with his speech shall be called unclean as well. For the reason he besmirched them in the first place is that he certainly found his own faults in them. Okay? So that's what the Kliyakar says. The Torah Tamima, however, okay, Tamei Tamei Yikra. Okay, Milamed, we learned from this, Shetzarech Lodia Tsa'aro L'Rabim. He has to tell the people about his tsaros. The Rabim Mevakshim Alav Rachamim. And the purpose is so that way other people will now identify with him and pray for him and try to help him. Okay? That, let's see, do we have this? That is the purpose of a Tamei Tamei Yikra. He shall call out to let people know so they can identify with him and help him in his difficult moment. Nira, Diresh Hamila Yikra Miloshon Pirsum Vahachraza Kmo Ukratim Dror Ba'aretz. The Torah Tamima goes out to prove this. Let me just get to the bottom over here. Lefisha Kol Haboche Balaila Kolo Nishma. Somebody who cries out in the middle of the night, his cries are heard. Davar Acher Balaila. The pasuk says Bachotiv Ke Balaila. You will cry in at the nighttime. And why does the pasuk say you will cry at the nighttime? Again, this is from Eicha, the destruction of the temple. Lefi shekol haboche balayla kolo nishma, because whoever cries out at night, his cries can be heard. Davar acher, another interpretation, shekol haboche balayla, whoever cries out at night, hashomea kolo, whoever hears him, boche kinegdo, will cry accordingly, with him as a consequence. So it seems that the idea of the mitzora here is to call out that he's tamei, so people will be with him and will associate and will identify with his pain and be sympathetic and empathetic, and that's bachotiv kebalayla. Jewish people crying out at night to the destruction of the temple. So that way we will be with one another and we will identify with one another and we will be empathetic and sympathetic to one another. Hakavana haita kidei sheyishmu acherim v'yivku imahem v'yivakshu aleihem rachamim. As we said a moment ago, as it relates to the mitzora, the mitzora calls out his tamei, so people will empathize with him. And he uses the basis for this idea, he proves it, from Bachotiv Kebalayla. And I think that here I want to sort of draw a connection. that Naftali Herz Imber, his poem was a poem of hope born out of sadness. But I think the purpose of that hope born out of sadness, calling this out, if you will, is in order that we should all cry together. And if we cry together, and if we are there for each other, and we're able to be sympathetic and empathetic towards one another, not only will we, you know, will a mitzora be, you know, be healed, right? A mitzora who was really very not nice, right? He will be healed. Why will he be healed? Because he will see the beauty of the kindness and love that people have for one another. When people come and pray for him, and people come and help him, and sympathize and empathize, he will undergo this transformation. It's not just so that it's not just a technical logistics thing, a way for social media to get out the word that this guy's a mitzora. No, when he sees the sympathy and empathy that others are having for him, he will be transformed. And the same thing with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the exile. Bachol tivke b'layla, you cry in the night with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the purpose of crying in the night? So we all end up crying for one another and feeling for each other. And I think that's Hatikva. If you can defend Hatikva against Rav Cook's critique, I think one defense of Hatikva is that in this moment, yes, it's a gullus oriented song. It is an exile oriented song because it comes from grief and tragedy. But the purpose of it is for us to connect to one another. You know, it's sometimes easier for us to connect, to see each other as humans, to see each other with all our foibles, with all our failures, with all our idiosyncrasies that can be off-putting to one another. In times of tragedy, we come together. And so we call this song of Hatikva, with all its pain and tragedy, is an opportunity, is a way for us to call to each other to cry with, for, and with one another. And that's also a way out of an important pathway out of exile. So I want to end with a really amazing thing that I found on this pasuk from Rabbi Zalman Saratskin. Where do I have it here? One second. Sorry. Here we go. Okay. Rabbi Zalman Saratskin lived, was a chief rabbi of Lutsk. I've cited him, Oznayim LaTorah, many times in our class. He was the rabbi in the city of Lutsk, outside of Vilna, before the war. He ultimately made it out. I think he made it out before the war, if I'm not mistaken. He made it to Palestine, to Israel. He became a rabbi in Israel and a head of an important organization called Chinuch Atzma'i, an educational organization. And he was also the chairman or vice chairman of the Agudah of Agudas Yisrael, which is the, as I'm sure you all know, the Haredi umbrella group in Israel, Agudas Yisrael. So suffice it to say, he didn't go to YU. So I say that to you I have to unshare my screen for a second. Okay, I'm going to try this again. Share. Okay, there we go. Okay. So, this is what Rav Saratskin had to say. We're running a little late, so I'm not going to read the whole thing for you. But he says, you know, v'tame tame yikra, kishehu ro'e ish mitkarev elav, when he sees somebody coming to him, kishaya bari, haya ragil lahatchil imo b'dibor ha'aser, so when he was healthy, he would start talking lashon hara. He would say, talk about this person and that person, the other person. But ata, now that he's a mitzora, Yatchil b'dibur shel mitzvah. The words that should come out of his mouth are words of mitzvah. Lahaziro al hatuma, to let the person know who he's talking to, that he's in the presence of tuma over here. And ulavaksho shiit palabado, and also to ask that he prays for him. Shagam zohi mitzvah. That's also a mitzvah. Lahamin shem eit Hashem ha'isazos, to understand and believe that all this comes from Hashem. Again, we're going to save most of this for another day, but here's what I want to get to. All this, sending the mitzora out is to ensure that he has this time of hisbodidus, of isolation, where he can be with himself, by himself for the most part, and thus better himself. Now listen to what he writes over here. In order that he should be healed from this malady, Amra Torah, the Torah says, Badad Yeshev Michutz L'machane Moshavo. He should dwell in isolation outside of the camp. Tinatein lo she'elato yitom ha'ish hazeh ta'am shel bedidut gemura. Give him a little feel, a little taste of what it means to be isolated. Which, by the way, is what you do when you say Lashon Hara. You're basically isolating another person from the community by shaming them, by embarrassing them, by cutting them off. Az betach yitgageya el min ha'adam. If you put a person in isolation and separate him from the social group, then he will start to pine and long for social connection. V'kabel alav l'nashek et afar raglo shel ish harishon. Now, he's not only not going to say Lashon Hara about the other person, he's going to realize he needs the other person. And he'll kiss the ground that the other person walks on. Because he's just going to want to talk to him. Can you sit with me? Can you talk to me? Just talk to me. That's all I want. That's where this is behavior modification therapy, where the guy was in isolation, and the purpose of that isolation is to make him feel the need for having other people with him and appreciate other people, and so he won't feel the need to just to speak Lashon Hara of other people, because he'll appreciate the value that every other human being has in his life and what he can offer him. And now Rav Sirotskin, Rabbi of Slutz, close to the chief rabbi of Vilna, Rav Chaim Ozer, head of the Agudas Yisrael in Palestine and in Israel, writes the following: Hasevel shel habididut, the pain and suffering of loneliness, anu motzim, we can find really fleshed out beautifully in a book called Robinson Crusoe. Shebo mesupar ma'aseh, there it is told the story of a certain individual, shenitzal mionia shenitrefa bayam, that was saved from a boat that was lost at sea, or had El Ikatan, and was stranded on a desert island. V'shomeim me'ayin adam, and had nobody, it was desolate. So there were no people there. Kama tarachad shematzah shama lechol, how much did Robinson Crusoe, did he try to find food and shelter, u'malishtot u'machse mechiot torfot, just to live, to get by. Biachare asher yashav be'iz man rav, and after he was there for some amount of time, hitchil mishakeach et hadibur, he began to forget how to speak. He had nobody to talk to. Ukimachi yatsa midato, he almost went out of his mind. V'hasofer, and the author, mita'er b'tzva'im behirim, describes in bright colors, in clear colors, right? In other words, very clearly. Et ga'aguav shel ha'ish ahu, the longings of this person, el min ha'enoshi v'al ha'dibur imem, dibur imahem, the longings to be able to be with another person, to talk with another person, to just appreciate being able to communicate with another human being. So says Rav Sirotskin. This is what we're trying to accomplish with the punishment, and I put it in quotes, of the Mitzora, to get the Robinson Crusoe experience, to feel the emptiness that comes without social, without social interaction, and to feel it on such a deep level that it's like bringing water to a thirsty person. You can't live without it. You appreciate every drop of water. The Metzora has to re-enter society appreciating every person that he comes in his way. If I may go, Rabbi Sirotkin didn't mention this, but if I may go to another story, a little more ecumenical, you know, a guy who wakes up on Christmas morning realizing that he appreciates all these people in his life, right? Okay, so lahavdil, okay, so every single person, every person who you couldn't stand before, you all of a sudden realize, you know what? Maybe there's what to appreciate in this person, as much as they annoy me, right? That's the Metzora experience. And I think that from Hatikva to Ha'emuna, the way you get from Hatikva, which is this hoping out of desperation and longing and sadness, to Ha'emuna, Rav Kook's hope of faith, joy, and vitality and life, is really, in my view, the journey from exile to redemption. Right? Hatikva is really about exile and the pain of exile. And, you know, if I may get into politics just a little bit for a second, you know, there are some Jews that, they don't want to sing Hatikva, you know, because there's no redemption until the Mashiach comes. I think those people should sing Hatikva because it's not a song of redemption, in my view. It's a song of Gullus. It makes their point. It makes their point that we're still in Gullus. We're still in exile. If they really want to sing, they should sing Rav Kook's Amuna. But I think, to go from Hatikva, ultimately as a religious Jew, I would hope that we one day are able to go from Hatikva and sing as a Jewish nation, Ha'emuna. And that journey from Hatikva to Ha'emuna, I believe, is tread on the path of the Metzora. Not that we are in isolation from one another, but the pain of Gullus should, over the generations and even in our own day, you know, should be a trigger for us to feel the need for one another and to overlook the imperfections that each of us have, and to overlook the, and to be able to see, if not overlook, to see beyond the issues that we have with one another. It's hard because, you know, as I often tell my wife, you know, the whole world is crazy except for you and me, and I'm not so sure about you. You know, we all know what we know. We all have opinions, and we're all clear about what we think is right and wrong and what should be and what shouldn't be. And, you know, but we need a little bit more, I think, a little more humility, to be able to be a little bit more forgiving to one another. And the problem is, the challenge is we feel, okay, I'll be forgiving, but the other person's not going to be forgiving to me, you know, so you know, there we are. That's the challenge. So we leave today on the eve of Yom HaTzma'ut with the prayer, and on the eve of Shabbos Parshas Tazria Metzora with the prayer that at the very least the pain and suffering that we've experienced over time should be a call to arms to be able to see each other for who the best of who we are, and to be able, as a consequence, to love one another and to feel a sense of appreciation for each other. And if we do that, God willing, we should be zocha to a geula shlema, the full, complete, and final redemption, speedily in our day.
Amen.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Rabbi, I just wanted to ask you, are we doing anything for Yom HaTzma'ut from the shul? Because I didn't see...
There's going to be a Kiddush and Shul this Shabbos, and I urge you to come to Mariv tonight. I urge you to come to Mariv tonight, where you'll be able to daven a Yom HaTzma'ut Mariv, and tomorrow to say Hallel in Shul. So So we are, as we do every year, I urge you to, you know, to come to shul and to daven with the minyan, so that way you can do hallel and all of that as well.
But nothing on Zoom, in other words, no presentation or anything?
No.
No.
Okay.
Surprised.
Okay. All right, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.